The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
So, it is time for the Lunchtime Social debate, and over to you, Maxine, to tell us all about it.
You rotter. You've been over there putting it all together.
I have, yeah. Okay.
Okay, it's a new thing we're doing. We're going to try it out. We're liking it. We think it's going to be good. Basically, we're going to be talking about everything that's current at the moment and put our opinion on it.
Okay, so this lunchtime, we're going to be talking about father and toddler parking. Because there's some geezer that can't. He tried to park his car and he couldn't because he wasn't a woman.
Yeah.
And we will talk about the five sexual sins as well. Why we should eat water this lunchtime. We're also talking about Janet Street Porter banning mobile phones. You're going to scrub away your stains with potatoes. And there's £300 cream on the table as well. But first of all, before we go anywhere, this simple children's brain teaser, which is, has the entire internet arguing over the correct answer. So see if you can work it out, okay?
I've got my pen and my paper.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
An apple plus an apple plus an apple equals 30. An apple plus four bananas equals 18. Four bananas minus half a coconut and another half a coconut equals 2.
What? I don't get it, do you?
I haven't got
a clue.
Be
honest.
No pineapples in there or oranges either.
No.
I don't get it at all. This mathematical equation uses apples, bananas and coconuts as numbers. Ask you to guess what number each fruit represents to work out the answer.
Well,
people torn over whether the correct answer is 14, 15, 16 or even 20.
I thought the first one, the three apples, equals 30, might be 10, 10, 10.
Yeah.
Does it give you the answers?
So if the apple is... Well, I don't know whether it does or not, but let's see if we can work it out, OK? So you've got an apple
you
plus...
You and me?
Yeah.
OK.
Yeah, come on, Maxine, you can do this.
I can do this.
An apple plus an apple plus an apple equals 30. So
yeah.
That's three of the same.
Yeah.
Times it by three, if you like. There's no times in there, but it's plus. So I reckon you might be right with 10.
Mm-hmm.
OK, so if you take that theory into line two, which is an apple plus four bananas equals 18, that would suggest that the four bananas
are four.
Plus 10
eight.
Is 18.
It's 18.
We're on a roll.
Hang on a minute. This is good.
So then you get
then
to four bananas minus two halves of coconut.
Yeah, that's throw me.
equals
that's throw
two.
Me.
Hang on. So
four.
You got four minus two equals two.
Four minus... I thought it's... How much is a coconut? Half a coconut?
Well, two halves of coconut. That final line is four bananas minus two halves of coconut.
That's got to be three then.
Equals... No. No, because they count as one each,
I think.
So 4 minus 2 equals 2.
Oh, stop pretending you're Carol Vorderman when you're not.
That's right, isn't it? We've got it right.
I think so.
Four bananas minus 2 bits of coconut equals 2.
I like coconut, do you?
There's more. There's more here.
Oh, is there?
There is.
Oh.
Underneath that, there is a coconut,
right,
which we think is 2.
We think.
Plus... an apple, which is 10.
I'm writing this down. Go on.
Plus three bananas,
which
equals,
is what? Four.
No, three bananas.
It's three.
Yeah, they've just got a picture of three bananas here.
Right. So that's 15.
Is it? I don't know.
Did you say minus three?
Half a coconut, which is 2.
Yeah. Plus 10.
Plus 10, which is an apple.
12.
Plus three bananas.
Yeah, 15.
It's 15. It equals 15. These are easy, aren't they?
Hey, I'm gonna see if I can get in that Mensa course here. I'm quite proud of myself.
I'm not sure whether that's right or not, because they do say that there's a big argument going over Facebook and,
So it can't be that easy, can it?
People were torn over whether the correct answer is 14, 15, 16 or 20.
Which is actually none of our answers that we've put.
Well, in our world, an apple is always going to be 10.
10.
Plus 10 plus 10 is 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the apple on the theory of 10 plus four bananas is 18. Okay, so, and we move on to the next one. Four bananas minus two bits of coconut equals 2. That's quite an obvious one, that one. That stood out and hit me straight away.
Oh, straight away, that one.
And then another one bit of coconut plus 10 apples, or one apple which equals 10, plus three bananas, but only the third. Sneaky, because only the third.
Very sneaky.
It, you can only just see it and might make out that it is three bananas equals 15. So we're there. Look, we're off to Mensa.
We are.
I don't know who's doing the show for the rest of the hour, but We're off. Do you want to talk about the father and toddler parking?
Yeah, I'm surprised this hasn't sort of come, hasn't reared its ugly head earlier, to be honest, because it's always the picture, isn't it? It's a picture of a woman. It's like mother and baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, therefore, you're supposed to be female parking the car,
yeah,
with your toddler in the back. So obviously this chap, he did he get fined, or
see,
was
that's
he
asked wrong them? In itself,
of course it is,
because women can't park cars.
Oh, don't even go there. I'm a good parker.
Yes, my lady.
Yeah, look, I always reversing. I do always reversing. So he's making a stand, isn't he?
He is making a stand, and I say good on him for making a stand.
It's funny enough, because only recently a chap did exactly the same thing with the change of the nappy situation, you know, the baby room thing, same principle, and he took his video camera around secretly, and all these major stores apologised but said, no, you can't do that in there, because it's just for mother and baby.
That's so
wrong,
isn't it?
And he said, I'm out with my son and I need to change his nappy. And they said, well, we're very sorry, you're going to have to do it in the gents. Obviously sort of like hovering, you know, trying to hold the baby. So I don't know whether, I think that's sort of been brought to attention. So that, I would think that it will change.
It has to change.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah. It really does. Because let's be honest, if this was if that was only father and child only, there'd be a massive uproar, wouldn't there?
Mm.
There would be an absolutely huge uproar. Dad's not allowed to park. Father's fury over mother and child only spaces at Aldi that he can only use if he wears a dress. So I don't know whether they've actually told him to wear a dress. Graham Taylor, 32.
Told him to wear a dress.
Well, that's let's read on. Read on, Macduff.
Read on, Macduff.
Graham Taylor, 32. Not the guy that used to be the England manager all those years ago. Old Mr. Turnip Head. Spotted a sign which read, mother and child only. He believes it shows disrespect towards stay-at-home fathers.
Yeah.
A staff member joked he could only park there if he wore a dress. So he was told that he could only park there if he wore a dress. And it just so happened, in the boot of his car, No, he didn't.
Oh.
A father of three was left outraged when he discovered the parent and child parking spaces at his local Aldi were only permitted for mothers exclusively. Graham Taylor was so furious, he shared an image of the mother and child only sign on Snapchat, asking, Dad's not allowed to park? And when Graham's wife, Louise, went into Cleethorpes Road store in Grimsby, Humberside, shame on you, Grimsby, to complain, he claimed a staff member joked he could only park there. Hey up, lad, you can only park there if you've got a dress on.
Yeah.
And so he's now furious, put the stuff on Snapchat. Graham, whose three daughters, said, I drove into the store's car park and they are only having works done, so they have created a temporary position for parent parking. I pulled into one of the three spaces which had the same sign. I was outraged. It said mother and child, not parent and child. It's the first time I've ever come across any sign like this in years, which is why it shocked me. My wife entered the shop and said something to a staff member who said, he'll be fine to park there, but we'll probably have to wear a dress. Ha, ha, ha. At least he had a sense of humour. Yeah, I don't think I'd have a sense of humour, would you?
I mean, and this, the room business, going to change a baby in a room as well. It's just a room, isn't it? So it's not like you're sharing with with one person at a time to go in, so it can be the dad or it could be the mum.
His quote is great. These days, people say it's all equal, but often look at you funny when you say you're a house husband. It's like a woman's job. But more and more men are staying at home and their wife or partner is the breadwinner, which is absolutely right. Get with it, we say.
Get with it.
Get with the times. Now, there's the
phone. Could you be a house husband?
I have been a house husband.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I have been a house husband at times in the past. Didn't mind it at all.
Oh, I can see you with your feather duster now.
At least we ate properly. Hi, who's this?
Hello, mate. It's Keith. How are you?
Hello, Keith. I'm all right. How are you?
Not too well, mate.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, Keith.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to you.
Yes. Ta-da.
you're on about the baby changing facilities.
Yeah.
In stores, etc. Now, the one thing... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not... I won't say that. I'm not actually moaning or whining about it, but I think it's wrong that you should have to change a baby and whatnot in a disabled lavatory.
Yeah, I think that's wrong as well.
You know, I know people say, well, in the end of the day, it's all, you know, it's all mess and whatnot, but it's not, you know, because there's a lot of things go on in disabled toilets that the general public do not know about, and I'm not talking about anything rude or naughty like that, but there's things that people have to do when they're disabled.
Sure.
And obviously, you know, there's germs and bugs, etc., that's floating around in the air in there. And you know, I think honestly, your baby could pick it up.
Good point.
There's a good point. I think they've really got to address the whole system here, the whole thing. We've moved with the times. The nation is moving forward. There are a lot more house husbands, even if you're not, you don't have to be a house husband. We shouldn't then say have a sign up saying house husbands only.
No,
because what is it this week? It's half term. So what happens is just say, for instance, I would imagine dads may be off as well. And yes, okay, for this week, they may be a house husband. They may be spending some time with the kids. So that means that they should have some facilities for themselves.
Definitely.
Well, yeah, makes sense. I agree there. It should be parent with baby changing facility, which I agree with. But I just think it's a bit, it's not outrageous, it's not scandalous. I'm just trying to say it's a bit off-putting for the poor, you know, because you don't know what's been going on in that disabled toilet before you've gone in with your baby.
Well, equally of any toilet.
Well, equally of any toilet, mate, indeed. But what I'm trying to say, there's a lot more, how can I put it, there's a lot more nastiness going on in there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes in the disabled, you'll find there's a lot of blood involved and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, when you flush your loo, 9 times out of 10, the germs escape into the air. And I think that all stores should move the baby changing facility into a proper baby changing facility.
Yeah.
But then I take your point on that, and I think supermarkets are probably, they could do that because they've probably got a little bit more space. Whereas, you know, when is this acceptable? When does the certain shops have to take responsibility
of? Well, if you've got a small cafe or something.
How big do you have to be?
Yeah,
exactly.
So
independently run and all that.
So just say, for instance, just pick a shop out of the air. I mean, you go to... Any shop in the high street.
Don't say Tesco.
Don't say Tesco. No. Nowhere big. Just pick a clothes boutique shop or whatever. Peacocks.
Yeah.
Go to Peacocks.
Yeah. Have they got a mother and change a baby changing facility?
I don't. Wow. They've got changing facilities, but you.
Well, then again, have they got loos?
Hang on a minute. I thought loos. You only had to provide toilets if you were a eating establishment and you're having drinks and food.
That's what I'm trying to establish here, Max. I'm putting my Columbo head on and thinking. Okay, when should you have to provide baby changing facilities and baby and parent parking? In any car park? Every car park?
9 times out of 10 you'll see it. It's there, mother and child,
A parent and toddler, isn't it?
It's like the worst culprit I think you'll find was Sainsbury's.
Right.
They actually put mother and baby, I think, in one situation, in one of their stores for parking. And like you say, the situation of the man turning up with his child, I should think that it should be just parent and child, shouldn't it? Let's face it.
Then is there an age restriction, like up to 5 years or...?
Well,
that's an interesting one. So again,
otherwise, everyone will be jumping it if you've got a teenager in the back.
Exactly. Everybody
abuses it. Let's face it, everybody abuses disabled parking.
I've never done this before, but I've always made a joke of when I've got my mum in the car, I could go and park in the parent and toddler thing because because my mum will get out and she'll hold me hand and
well yeah the parent and child it wouldn't be so much parent and toddler there Ian would
parent
it?
And child yeah
parent and child,
parent and child yeah.
Yeah it's like I've seen people with disabled badges that are going parking mother and baby. And yet get out and walk straight into the shop because there's not nothing. You know, what I'm trying to say here? I know there's lots of disabled which you cannot see. But what I'm saying is, it's like me. 9 times out of 10, if I can park in a disabled bay or park in a bay that's close enough for me not to park in a disabled bay, I will. But sometimes, you know, I have to use a disabled bay because I've got a badge myself. The amount of people that actually abuse it, I know you didn't want to go down this line, but...
No, but I've got a question to ask you.
Because
you bring up an interesting point. There's somebody that lives down our road. There's two people that lives down our road. And you know, this might upset him, but he's got, like, a disabled parking space.
Yeah.
And he plays golf.
So he winds you up?
Yes, that might be part of his physiotherapy or treatment, that he has to get out and they get some fresh air in.
But then you look at it and you think, okay, you've had that parking space for about 4 or 5 years, and yeah. I see you quite often getting out of there, picking up your golf clubs and you know, walking home. Walking back to your house.
All I can suggest is that maybe he's due for assessment again.
Okay. The other thing is, and this is interesting, you've been honest enough to answer some questions about,
yeah.
you know, where you park. There's someone else that parks down the road,
yeah.
and there's always a parking space
yeah.
for him to park into. He's got a, you know, he's got a badge.
Yeah.
So, but he always parks double yellows. On almost a corner, on a junction.
Well, he's breaking the law. In. It all depends how long he stays there.
Well, he stays there quite often, because he's near, you know, I walk by, I can walk to town, spend half an hour walking around the town, and he's still there when I get back. And I think to myself, hang on a minute,
yeah,
there's
well,
a space it's 20 feet away that you can obviously
yeah.
drive into, but you decide that you're going to park on those double yellow lines just around the corner.
Perhaps he's being considerate and leaving the space free for anybody else who's disabled.
That's another point that we should make.
Yeah, but also, you know, you can only stay on double yellow lines for 3 hours anyway.
3 hours?
It's only
yeah,
3 hours.
3 hours. Yeah, so obviously, as long as you're not causing an obstruction or inconvenience, etc., etc.
See, what's fascinating about this, Keith, is you're being open and honest about it, and
yeah.
I like that. So do you have this problem in your mind? Just say, for instance, you come across that problem every single day, or
yeah.
most days. Do you have that thought of, well, if I park here, I'm allowing everybody else to park where they can,
yeah.
or do you go and take up the space where they can? I mean, what do you do?
It all depends whether there's space. Like I say, if it's double yellow lines or single yellow lines, as long as there's no double yellow line markings on the curb, which means absolutely no way should anybody park there, not even delivering, etc., etc., then you're okay. But if you park on, like I say, if you park on WO lines or single yellow line with a blue badge, you're allowed for 3 hours.
All right. That's an interesting one. And
obviously, like I say, don't quote me. If it's causing obstruction, you will get moved and you will get fined.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if it's like on just before a set of traffic lights, you decide to pull up, and that's not a very good idea, is it?
So, going back to the original question, are we agreed that we should have mother or parent and toddler facilities, parent and toddler signs,
yeah.
dad
yeah.
should be able to park
yeah.
in those.
It should be parent and toddler.
Mm.
It should be, because you take it, for instance, you go down the line of how many, not being funny, but how many situations or marriages or partnerships break down, and the father's got the child for the day and he wants to go and park somewhere in the supermarket to take for a coffee, and he's got the child with him, and he thinks, well, I'll park up. Because the object of the mother and child, or mother and toddler, or parent and toddler bays are, you'll notice they're wider, and let's forget the kids in and out, and you've opened the doors wider. That's what it's
yeah,
all about, Ian.
Absolutely, mm. absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
All right.
Same with disabled bays. It's like the amount of shops that think, oh, yeah, or supermarkets think we'll supply as disabled bays, and what they do, they go and put disabled bays, but they put cars next to each other, and with the hatched area on one side of the car. So, of course, if you're a disabled driver, you've either got to reverse in so you can open the door wide enough, especially if you've got a wheelchair or something. You know, the actual supermarkets, shops, etc., they flout the law in their own right. They're doing it, they're supplying the disabled bay, but they can get more cars in their car park if they only put a hatched area one side.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. It's just all profit, mate. It's profiteering, isn't it?
I'm going to look into it. Next time I'm in the supermarket, I'll have a good look around and see and compare Sainsbury's.
Funny thing was that in Asda's in Chandler's Floor, they've got a big sign you pull in and it's disabled parking, and it says disabled above it, and it's got push bikes immediately underneath that. So it says disabled, like, looking at the sign, it says disabled cycles.
Right.
Disabled cyclists, park your bike here.
Do you know, we're talking to signs. We should do this one week. But there was a sign up
Scarrett's
Lane.
Oh, mate, it's unbelievable.
There's a sign up Scarrett's Lane. It's something about sex change shop. And,
yeah.
And I forget how it goes. I did put a picture on Facebook about a couple of years ago. And every time I go by, it looks like sex change. But it isn't. It's something exchange.
Oh, the exchange,
exchange.
Yeah. I know what you mean,
so,
yeah.
Anyway.
It's like going back to parking again. Into 9 times out of 10, I found the Isle of Wight to be very, very lenient with their parking. They are excellent over there. And I don't know whether it's due to the fact that there's a lot of disabled people retire over to there or move over there. But, yeah, they do cater for the disabled a great deal.
Good. Hey, look, Keith.
Great. Yeah, have a good weekend. Won't you?
And you. Great to talk to you.
Yes.
And you, Max.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Keith. Same to you.
All right, darling.
Cheers, Keith.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. What do you want next? Do you want to find out how you can scrub away your stains with a potato, or do you want to be happy and chuck out every single possession you don't love?
Chuck out every possession you don't love?
Yeah.
Like a spring clean thing?
Yeah. Do you want to do the potato thing then instead?
Yes.
No, let's chuck out everything. Want to be happy? Chuck out every single possession you don't have. Jan Moi said she did all this and chucked out everything and just had two dinner plates left. Okay, her house was stuffed with collectibles and assorted clutter. After a flood ruined her bed linen, she realised life was easier without it. She chucked everything away that wasn't vital to her new streamlined existence. Marie Kondo has become famous for inventing this tidying method. My name is Jan Moi and I'm a junkaholic. Until all too recently, my home was stuffed with collectibles and assorted clutter. A French egg holder with hen-shaped handles, embossed stationery boxes with silk tassels, a sweet collection of silver ice buckets, dozens of blankets, cupboards crammed with towels, enough bed linen to run a small hotel. If the entire cast of Les Miserables had moved in overnight, I could have accommodated them all sheets-wise and given them each a boiled egg in an amusing ceramic egg cup for breakfast. Okay, do you want me to read on?
So she's just got rid of it all?
She's got rid of it all. Everything bar two plates.
But don't you find when you do this, and I have done it, and something you've not used for years and years and years, and then a week later you suddenly realise you need it and you chucked it out?
Yeah, maybe. But I like the decluttering thing.
I'm a declutterer. I like it, yeah.
Just imagine, you get rid of everything and you're left with two plates. The kids are gone, husband's gone, everything's gone, and you're just left with two plates. How brilliant would that be? I was in the grip of what I now see as an addiction, a very modern affliction. I wasn't exactly a hoarder, but equally, I never let anything go. I used to think it was right and proper to keep every book I read, including the mangiest paperback from three decades ago. My thinking was, why have one pen in a jar on your desk when you could have a dozen, including the novelty one with Donald Duck's head on from three hotel chains? And I'm not throwing out the red glitter pen. It will come in handy next Christmas.
I've got a jar of pens.
Have you?
Yeah.
So have we.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is some idiot used that one of those hundreds of pens to doodle all over the desk, didn't they? So maybe if we didn't have
put
such
temptation
a
temptation. Yeah. God.
Three pairs of secateurs, even though I no longer have a garden. I likewise never worn clothes.
Well, she's just done a car boot sale then, basically.
I don't know what she's... No, she's put it into landfill. She's got them all.
Into what? She's
got landfill.
What's that?
That's some. Well, oh, it's that teacher pupil moment, isn't it?
Landfill.
Yeah, you know where you when they collect your rubbish.
Recycling.
No, you know when they collect your rubbish, and they take it somewhere. They take
to the
it
tip.
To. They take it to the tip.
Yes.
Yeah, that's landfill.
Is
right.
it?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
It must be lovely in your world.
No, it's not bad. It's not too bad.
So there's a picture of all her bags of rubbish, with the exception of her two plates.
I'd have done a car boot.
Well, yeah, you probably would. But then you'd have brought half of it back and you'd have kept it.
No, and then taken it to the tip.
Well, yeah.
Sorry,
there
the
is that as well. See, you're catching on, aren't you? Then I saw the light, or rather, I had the light thrust upon me. My circumstances over the past 6 years have been a continual boomerang of moving into one home whilst the other was refurbished, moving back, moving out again, and moving somewhere else. This woman's got more than one home?
I like her writing, though. I read her a lot.
And each time we move, the cupboard spaces seem to get smaller and the surroundings less hospitable to the cavalcade of, let's be honest, junk I was carting around. It became a pain. I began to ask myself, do I really need all of this rubbish?
We don't know, do we?
We don't. Absolutely. I was going to ask a question. I'm kicking myself a little bit.
Why?
Have you ever read a book?
What are you, cheeky monkey? Yes, I have.
Have you kept that book?
Yeah, and I know what she's talking about, but
Are you ever going to read that book again?
No, but I have got rid of books. But the only books I do keep, and I'm sure a lot of people do the same, is cookery books, because you're not going to throw those out.
Absolutely, and that's good. See, that's a good cluttering mind to have.
Yeah.
My wife has got hundreds of books.
You've got loads of books. I've seen all your books in your bookshelves.
I've only got four or five that are mine.
That are yours.
And
there's hundreds of books.
Am I going to read them again? Probably not.
I can't read a book twice. What's the point of
that?
But
we keep them. Exactly. But then we watch the TV programme twice.
I know, and I'm guilty of that. And I
so
can't,
you've got your DVDs?
Yeah, I know. I can't read a book. Because you read... Oh, I don't know. You read a book to find out what the ending is, don't you, sort of thing?
Well, just read the... Keep the last page. Just keep the last page. Have a book of last pages.
Yeah, that'd be good. That might catch on.
It might do.
It's true.
I find it really strange, because we're all different. We all like... Oh, yeah, I've got to keep that. I can't get rid of that. No, I might need that.
It's that letting go business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm not sure.
But when it comes down to books, DVDs, and making the comparison, okay, are you ever going to play that vinyl again? Are you ever going to play that CD again?
Mm.
Do you still like that CD? No, can't stand it. So why don't you get rid of it then? So just say, for instance, you can't read a book twice, so why have you got any books in your house apart from cookery books?
Don't know.
So are you going to go home and declutter? Get rid of everything?
I haven't got many books. The books I have got, I haven't read yet. I'm going to read them this summer.
Do you find that, like us, you've got some bookshelves, so you need some books on it, okay?
Mm.
so otherwise, it'll just look empty.
No, I've got different things in my bookshelf.
Have you?
I've got books.
You show off, you.
Then I've got some pictures,
yeah,
and stuff, and I've got little hearts and stuff.
Mm.
So I haven't just got books.
It's an interesting one. I can see really why, you know, just chucking it all out and starting again. If you had to do that, this would be an interesting one. If you had to chuck it all out and start again, and there were things that you had to keep because you wanted to keep, because obviously you got pictures of your children when they were small, you're not going to chuck anything like that out.
Oh, no.
But can you chuck everything else? Could you do that? Could you say, right, I'm going to chuck all of these plates out, all of these cups out, all of it, and start again?
She's just saying she's just got two plates. What about cups and,
But then she's going to start again.
Knives and forks.
She'll start again, no
doubt.
Well,
then that's... She's got a lot of money to throw away then, because she's got to go buy all the stuff again.
Get rid of everything,
so
I
what's
say.
What's the point of this exercise?
Yeah, but just say, for instance, you then buy what you need.
Well, why
How
don't
many
you
knives
take
have you got?
What you need from what you're going to take to the line field.
The where? The where? Up landfill.
Yeah, that place.
Well, I don't know what you call it.
The
minefield. But wouldn't you then think, right, okay, you get rid of everything and you start again?
Yeah, I'd like to do it, and I'd like to be able to afford to have some nice new things.
Well, see, you still could do that, couldn't you? Because you'd probably realise that you have got some nice things underneath the crummy things that you use on a daily basis. Well, I never used this knife before, because there's about 23 of them on top. How many knives and forks have
you
got?
Don't you always go for the same ones, don't you?
You do.
You're so right. So, and I'm guilty of it.
So how many knives and forks have you got?
I've got loads.
Exactly. How many do you need?
We just need three forks, three knives.
I mean, let's be honest. Those plastic things the cutlery thing that was designed to go in the drawer, they're only designed to have six knives, six forks, and we pile them high and probably have another drawer with another load in just in case we have a party.
Yeah, just
get some plastic knives.
So
free up that drawer. I'm with this lady.
Yeah.
I don't know where she is, who she is, but if she's single, I'm tracking her down.
She is single.
Is she?
Yeah. She is single.
How wonderful is that?
Yeah.
You just think all the cruddy stuff that you got in your cupboard. We had a sort out the other week. We got all these cups who were never ever used.
Well, I'm a bit low on mugs.
Well, I've got a load. I'll bring them in next week. I'm going to give you all my crummy stuff, all right?
I don't want your crummy stuff. Bring me some of your good stuff in.
We got about 10 plates.
Yeah, I've got quite a few plates.
10 plates. There's two of us.
No, I think I've got more than 10.
We got 10 bowls.
No, I'm a bit short on bowls. Bring me some bowls in.
But you go through your kitchen and you think, right, okay, can we get rid of that? Can we get rid of this? Can we get rid of that? No, you can't. Oh, no, you can't get rid of that. That's so-and-so pretty. They got us that.
Yeah.
And we might use that when they come round in 5 years' time. You know, it's.
Oh, do you know what? I do that with the butter dish. Right, I've got a friend. I moved into my house. One friend bought me a butter dish, another friend bought me a butter dish. So when my friend comes to stay, I have to put the other butter dish in the pantry.
How many butter dishes do you need?
Well, I don't want to offend.
We've got about three gravy boats as well. And do you know what we use?
Yeah, well,
we just use
an
ordinary jug.
A jug.
We never use the gravy boats, but it's there.
Isn't that a funny word, gravy boats? Yeah, I've got a gravy boat.
I would have had money on that. Pots and pans that we never use.
Yeah.
It's all there. And then what happens is, you get in that kitchen one day and you say, I haven't got any space. If you had a declutter and got rid of half the stuff that you've not used in 5 years...
I am actually going to have a look in my cupboards when I get back. I am. But don't forget my bowls. I'm a bit short on bowls.
All right, we'll do that then. So I think this lady's got... I think she's struck on something. I really do. But I think you're right about, maybe having a car boot sale, maybe making some money out of it.
Oh, I'd have
so
to do
on.
The car boot sale, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be... I noticed on the way to walk... on my walk to work this morning, on the way to work...
Or a yard sale.
In this guy's backyard...
Yeah.
...sat a hamster cage...
What
a
do you want
one.
With a hamster cage?
No, I'm just telling you that this guy had it in his yard. That's...
You're going to get a hamster?
No. I'm on my way to work, okay? And this guy, in his backyard, as I walk by, has got a hamster cage up for sale, and it's there for 25 quid. It's
I was
there so
say
you can
20,
see it.
Actually.
And...
What?
And also, he's got a lawnmower, both for £25 each. But it just made you think that he's obviously having a clear out. This is what you should do. Have a little clear out. Yeah. This is what they do in America, isn't it? They have a clear out and they stand at the end of the garden and they say, you know, how about any of my, you know, stuff here that missed her for a dollar or whatever?
Yeah.
Maybe you should do that. Is they call it a yard sale?
Yard sale,
and,
yeah.
And this guy...
Or
had,
garage sale or
we
whatever.
Should do that. You should do that with all your all the crummy stuff in your house. And then
shut up about my crummy stuff. I happen to like my crummy
and
stuff.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Have a clear out.
Just have a right good clear out. We should do that. Hey, still to come, we'll be back with, Janet Street Porter.
Yeah.
She wants to ban mobile phones in public area. Why we should eat water. If we get time, we're going to squeeze in 5 sex scenes. If we get time.
Okay.
If not, we'll do it off air. Because we've got to do it.
Got to do it,
the
yeah.
5
it's
sex
just
scenes.
Got to be done, yeah.
Okay, it's quite an interesting one. And also, coming next, we shall be scrubbing away your stains in the house...
With a spud.
With a potato.
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 No less.
Not chips. Ooh. A potato. All of that and more when we come back.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
www.vectorsradio.com.
The 4 P's project is for 11 to 19-year-olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
Do you need that unsightly chewing gum removed in an eco-friendly way without any hindrance to your day-to-day business? Do you need that fragile stonework cleaned and are you worried that it could be damaged? Worry no more, because White Stream Hydro Cleaning Services is here. We are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialists. We cover the commercial, industrial, maritime and solar sectors for all of your cleaning and restoration needs. Call our professional team on 01983 642 101. That's 01983 642 101. Or go to our website www.whitestream.co.uk for a full list of our services. White Stream, it's what's on the outside that counts.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call Westwhite Audio for expert friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
The loss of a loved one through bereavement is one of the hardest and most painful things we have to go through in life. It's a great help and comfort when someone can sit down with you and talk you through the kind of service you would like to mark the passing of your friend or relative, and then on the day deliver a warm and positive ceremony with his or her life at the heart of it all. My name's Jonathan Skeet, and I'm an independent funeral celebrant. For an informal chat with no obligation whatsoever about how I can help you in this crisis moment, call me on 01983 868607. That's 01983 868607. Or ask your funeral director.
Fantastic Plastic is an exciting new waves workshop with artist Joanna Corey on Saturday the 5th of March from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m, where young people aged 11 to 14 years can create a multi-layered piece of art to take home. To book your place, call Key Arts box office on 822490. Waves is Key Arts Youth Offer, funded by Isle of Wight Council and available to young people resident to the Isle of Wight.
Hi, I'm Tom from the 4P's Project. I've been asked to do a promo for the Retro Show. I don't know why, all the stuff played on that show was in the charts before I was even born. Anyway, the Retro Show is 3 hours of magical musical memories from 10 every Sunday on Vectis Radio, presented by Kelvin Curry. Ah, that explains it. I've met him and he's about 1,000 years old. So basically, every Sunday morning, there's 3 hours of old music presented by an old guy. Whatever.
Stay social and get in touch. Add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
And we're back for part two, and we promised you we would be talking about potatoes. So what have you got for us? Have you got the details there?
Oh, you had.
Oh, I thought you had.
Oh, I've just closed it up now.
Well, you said you wanted to talk about it because you wanted to do it on the show next week. And I said, but it's relevant this week. We must do it this week.
Oh, I don't know what I've done with it.
I've lost
it. Oh, yeah. Well, potatoes, apparently. Grated potato is to banish stains.
Yeah.
Grate two raw potatoes to a pulp, put them in a bowl containing 1 pint of water, strain the liquid into another bowl containing a fresh pint of water, and leave the mixture to settle for an hour. This apparently then will really get rid of all those stubborn grease spots with a clean cloth, leave to dry before wiping and gently with a moist cloth to remove any residue.
Seems like
allegedly.
A lot of hassle, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I'd just get a squirter out.
So you've got to grate it?
Yeah, then put the water in and drain it. Then it's got to stand for an hour.
We just buy some Jif, shall
just
we?
Just get the sieve out.
Yeah.
Get the sieve out.
That sounds a bit stupid, actually.
Apparently you can have a bit of rhubarb for your bathroom.
Rhubarb?
Rhubarb.
Go on. How does that work, then?
Apparently, removes stains from enamel. Mm. As simple as adding a single stem of rhubarb and kettles of boiling water to the bathtub, then leaving it for several hours. So basically...
The what tub?
In your bath...
In your bath? In your bathtub?
In that thing. You put a single stem of rhubarb and kettles of boiling water over it.
Yeah.
Leave for several hours. And apparently rhubarb contains oxalic acid, which is used in many commercial cleaning products. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I love a bit of rhubarb and custard. I can't think of some eating some sort of acid now.
What's it doing to your insides?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Well, apparently that's, you know, that's what they do.
Someone said about if you want your toilet nice and sparkly, you just put a load of Coke in it. Apparently that does the trick.
Apparently this Coke does all sorts of stuff, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
apparently it does all sorts to your insides, and it you look at what it does to your insides, it's going to sort your pans out, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently gin to get your mirrors shining. It seems a bit of a waste myself.
Gin?
Yeah, it seems a bit of a waste to me. Yeah,
exactly. Gin? Good grief.
Apparently so. Pour a generous slug of supermarket gin, the cheapest you can find, £6 apparently is the cheapest, into a bucket. And it'll make your mirrors as shiny as As right. they come.
Shiny as they come.
As shiny as they come.
All right, so that all stemmed from potatoes. Keep yeah. your house clean with potatoes, but it just sounds a bit of a faff, doesn't it?
I have heard it's got here newspapers as well to clean mirrors.
Right.
Yeah, I have heard of that one.
Look, I've got a confession to make. It's kind of a lead on from about 3-4 years ago. If you remember, we had this lady in that did stuff with creams and stuff, and I said that what I use on my hair instead of gel was that Vaseline creamy stuff.
I remember.
Do you remember? And I'm thinking about contacting them because so many people have contacted, or you know, commented on me and the fact that my hair looks like it's dyed, but yeah. it's not. And I've even, you know, proved it by having a professional hairdresser come in and say and examine the hair and say, no, there's no dye in this.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering now whether, because I use the Vaseline intensive care stuff on my hair every day.
What do you mean? That is a shampoo, though.
No. Not the shampoo. It's a cream. The cream that you would use for, like, dry, flaky skin, I use on my hair. Instead
As
of
a
gel.
Conditioner?
Instead of gel,
okay.
after I've washed it.
Right.
After I've
so it's dry, then you stick it on.
So that, yeah, exactly. Well, put it on when it's wet. Look sexier.
Okay.
But I'm thinking now, maybe I should get in touch with them and say, send them a sample of my hair and say, look, hey, look, if you were ever working on something to keep your hair, you know, stopping going grey, you could use, you know, this kind of stuff and just bottle it up as like hairdo stuff that keeps you.
Hairdo stuff.
That makes
Can
it.
Can we get your hairdo, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Because it works, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
I can see a grey one at the front.
Yeah, but I'm 50.
Yeah, I know. You're good.
Thank you. All right, so I'm gonna write them a letter.
Did she tell you off? She said it was wrong to do that.
Yeah, she would. She wanted me to buy her product.
I can't remember what they were. Can you?
No, I can't. No. But I didn't take any notice. No. I carried on. Look at me. Do I look all right? Does the hair look all right?
Yes,
it
dear.
Does.
Yes, dear.
Oh, we sound like we're married now, dear. Now then, shall we change subjects?
Yes.
Ban mobiles in restaurants before I ring someone's neck.
Mm-mm.
That's according to Janet Street Porter. She's calling for smartphones to be uninvited from the dinner table. Is she right or wrong?
Yeah,
I think she's bang on.
Bang on.
Janet Street Porter says smartphones should be banned in restaurants, believes phones stand between us and the civilised behaviour. She says a phone has become the uninvited guest.
You went all Bristol
then.
You did.
Here, I tell you what.
Oh, Gertie.
She says a phone has become the uninvited guest at every single table.
Oh.
Exactly when was the last time you had someone's undivided attention? Well, you're reading the paper now, aren't you? I looked at you and as if to say, well, you're not paying attention, are you? Exactly when was the last time? These days, everyone is distracted. The only reason...
And they are.
The only reason you're reading the newspaper and not your phone is because you don't know how to work it properly here.
No, I don't. I'm rubbish.
Try talking to a fellow human being and their eyes will constantly flick downwards towards their dreaded mobile phone.
Oh, it's out of order.
It is, but, I mean, do you do it?
No. Nope.
You just do it to, you know, newspaper, don't you?
Newspaper, right, that's my game.
God gave us 10 fingers and a highly developed sense of touch so we could savour our life to the full. Our hands enable us to work, play sport, caress people. We're talking about that later. And the things we love. Cuddle our babies and stroke friends who are suffering.
Mm.
I'm not sure about stroking friends.
Stroking
That looks
friends.
A bit... Stroke your cat and your dog, you know, but stroke...
I know what stroking
there.
Is, you don't have to
there,
show
there,
me.
There.
There.
With them can create great art, sew beautiful clothes, arrange flowers with write poetry.
Paint.
You can paint as well. But what do we do? Increasingly prefer to do with them instead. Repeatedly stab at tiny pad hundreds if thousands of times a day to send texts or emails. Soon we won't need vocal cords or 10 fingers, just 2 digits to text or type our thoughts. The mobile phone has become an artificial extension of our arms, a silly lump of plastic we are addicted to, caressing far more than any lover. Let me just think about that for a while.
I'm thinking.
You can hear it. The device we value above all else. lose it and we're reduced to tears and we can barely function. It's akin to a bereavement. We carry our phones around like priceless jewels. They have their own little shelves in cars.
Yes.
And special pockets in our handbags.
Yes.
Phones now dominate our lives. They stand between us and the civilised behaviour, reducing us to boorish zombies. Recently, I wrote that restaurants should ban disruptive small children.
Yeah, I read it.
In the evenings. And you wrote in your thousands to say you agreed. So even though I admit to the overuse of my BlackBerry, I am willing to add another item to the banned list, the smartphone. Nowadays, when this phone-obsessed generation arrive at a cafe or a pub or a restaurant or a dining room, what is the first thing they do?
Put it on the table.
They don't ask for the menu. They lay down their precious gadget on the table. Yep. It's almost like, there's mine. Where's yours?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, there's my little baby. How big's yours?
Yeah.
Hey, that's what it feels like. Next to them, with the screen facing up so they can monitor emails, incoming texts or calls.
Oh.
Even if in silent... Do you know what? I've got to be honest. I'm reading this all from a tablet.
Not your phone.
I do have a little glance at the phone now and again. You know? It's the... technical equivalent of a screaming toddler demanding constant monitoring and attention. And the conventional manners have gone out the window. These days, the person sitting opposite you is guaranteed to interrupt you by peering down at their precious plastic pal, mumbling, "Just ignore me, I must reply to this," before tapping away for several minutes.
I hate it when they say, "Sorry, I must get this." I hate that when it's a phone call, as if they're flipping important.
Yeah, exactly. I did that yesterday. I felt
sorry,
rotten.
I must get this. No, I must take this. That's
sorry,
it. Take
sorry,
this.
Max, I've got to take this.
Take this.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll throw my phone at you.
The result, you are feeling less important than what's happening on their phone.
Mm.
Back when the telephone was something that lived on a small table in the hall.
Remember,
and which was used only for emergencies or weekly chats with far-flung relatives, my mum would decree that when in company, I should pay attention and look interested. I should never speak when others were talking. I should speak only when spoken to.
Yeah.
Those basic rules have vanished. They have.
They have.
Absolutely. I totally agree with this lady. She's bang on.
I agree
on.
With a lot of stuff she comes out with, though.
She's been married about four or five times, hasn't she? Five times.
Mm.
So she's never learned, has she?
No.
So here she is.
Their present partner, they're partners. They've been together a while, but five marriages, yeah.
I've just come back from Australia, where the mobile doesn't have the same tight grip on social situations. Maybe because it's quite hard to surf, kayak or swim whilst texting.
Good. Like
in several shops, I was pleased to read signs announcing, "We will not serve anyone on a mobile phone." I'm liking it.
Mm.
But you just imagine, just go back for a while. And listen, I'm just putting the tablet down now so we can talk.
Yes.
As we should.
We have eye contact.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you just think, people do all the time. They touch their mobile phones like it's like a major part of their life.
Yeah.
And she was right. You caress it. You touch it. You do all of these things. Mm. It's in your pocket. It's close to you. You don't let it out of your sight. It's the most precious thing in the world. And yet it's not.
No, it's not, is it?
No.
But how have we let it become
so
that?
Why? It just begs the question, why?
No idea.
Why is it that...
I have a funny strop if I can't find my phone. Where's my phone?
Why?
I don't know. It's like I'm going to be cut off from the world if I haven't got it.
Everything is on it.
Yeah.
Your whole life is on that phone.
And
for
you
some
get on
reason.
That thing and you tell everybody your whole life as well.
Exactly. Honestly, I think she's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now and thinking, okay, the industry that we're in, you've got to have the technology and you've got to be up to date with. But
it's not have to be 24/7, does it?
Comes at a whacking great price. It really does. When was the last time you actually sat through and watched a whole TV programme without touching or looking at your phone?
Oh, no, I can do that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
Truthfully?
Yeah.
What, even when I'm texting you?
Like, no, no.
You know, what are we doing tomorrow on the show? And you're halfway through Death in Paradise from the week before because you haven't had time to watch it yet because you spent too much time on your phone and your tablet and your computer.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would imagine we're forever. Look, is it? They haven't rung yet.
No.
They haven't texted me. I've sent them a text 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I don't like that.
They haven't replied.
Well, you get a late... I don't like that. Texting should be then immediate response. I don't like it when they don't reply immediately. I get all worked up.
Do
I've done something wrong.
see that's the other...
start worrying
that's
then.
That's the other sad thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is when we do that, then you feel bad because you haven't had... Just say, for instance, you've been at work or something like that for a couple of hours and you haven't responded. You start the text by saying...
Oh, I'm so sorry I've not replied sooner.
Yeah. like they care, because they're on with their next text, buddy. They're fine. This thing goes on all day. It's on all day. That's why you have to charge it up all day, every day.
Yeah.
It's like incredible. It takes over your life. Oh, you're not texting me. I'll text so-and-so instead.
Well, it's the first thing I hit in the morning as well. Because my alarm
just checking
goes
my emails.
Off. I'm talking to you.
I always check the emails first just to see if there's anybody messaged me in the night. I don't know why we do it. It's a habit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Break it.
It takes your life over. It really does.
Mm.
Anyway, look, we've got 80 seconds now to talk about the five sins in the bedroom. The five sex sins all women are guilty of that are ruining your love life, including being squeamish between the sheets.
I love it the way it's women.
Yeah.
Pointing the finger at men.
Let's just go back to the previous subject and add that into this one here.
What, the phone?
The phone. I mean, I don't suppose you can remember the last time you had horizontal refreshment. Because it's been a while. But do you take your phone? Is your phone nearby just in case halfway through you have to answer a text or an email? Because it is taking over your life.
I think people have done that. I'm sure of it. I wouldn't.
Are you lying now?
Why are you always pointing the finger at me? No, why would you?
I bet people do. I bet that it's got to be close by. Don't you think? Should it be close by?
It shouldn't really, should it? Should be concentrating on...
Hang on, love, carry on. I've just got to take this, all right? I've just got to reply to this. Do you know what I mean? I bet you that this goes on in people's bedrooms.
I bet it has.
I bet they're not too far away from their phone.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
I can guarantee it. Hey, look, we've kind of
we didn't get the other four.
Run
then
out of time. Well, no, that wasn't in the that wasn't part of five.
Oh,
but it should be. Yes. Leave your phone out of the bedroom as well.
Oh my god!
And your watches. See, watches now. Most people's watches have all this technology on too.
Yeah, but not a lot of people wear a traditional watch, do they? Because they look on the phone.
Exactly.
You're looking back at your phone.
But just so for instance, you've got one of those Fitbit phones, like lots of people have got now, you know, which tells you how many steps you're taking per day. And just say, for instance, if you've exercised enough. Now, that could be one of your five a day when it comes down to the old horizontal refreshment. So you leave the damn thing on, don't you? Because it's measuring all your movements.
Of course you do, yeah.
I've burnt out 50 calories. Well done. What about you? Well, I was putting in a bit more effort. I was up to 75. Honestly, the world has changed.
Mm, not always for the best.
Anyway, we've ran out of time.
I enjoyed that.
And so did I. And we didn't get to talk about the five sex sins all women are guilty of ruining your love life with. So
I'd like to know what the five ones for the men are as well.
Well, there's more than five.
Yeah, I think.
That's another hour in
another
total
hour in our company.
Okay, thank you very much for being there.